This is the reading for June 2nd. Job chapter 3. After 7 days, Job cried out and cursed the day he had been born, saying, "Let the day I was born be destroyed, and the night it was said, 'A boy is born.' Let that day turn to darkness. Don't let God care about it. Don't let light shine on it. Let darkness and gloom have that day. Let a cloud hide it. Let thick darkness cover its light. Let thick darkness capture that night. Don't count it among the days of the year or put it in any of the months. Let that night be empty with no shout of joy to be heard. Let those who curse days curse that day. Let them prepare to wake up the sea monster Leviathan. Let that day's morning stars never appear. Let it wait for daylight that never comes. Don't let it see the first light of dawn, because it allowed me to be born and did not hide trouble from my eyes. Why didn't I die as soon as I was born? Why didn't I die when I came out of the womb? Why did my mother's knees receive me and my mother's breasts feed me? If they had not been there, I would be lying dead in peace. I would be asleep and at rest with kings and wise men of the earth who built places for themselves that are now ruined. I would be asleep with rulers who filled their houses with gold and silver. Why was I not buried like a child born dead, like a baby who never saw the light of day? In the grave, the wicked stop making trouble, and the weary workers are at rest. In the grave, there is rest for the captives who no longer hear the shout of the slave driver. People great and small are in the grave, and the slave is freed from his master. Why is light given to those in misery? Why is life given to those who are so unhappy? They want to die, but death does not come. They search for death more than for hidden treasure. They are very happy when they get to the grave. They cannot see where they are going. God has hidden the road ahead. I make sad sounds as I eat. My groans pour out like water. Everything I feared and dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace or quietness. I have no rest, only trouble." 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon loved many women who were not from Israel. He loved the daughter of the king of Egypt, as well as women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. The Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not marry people of other nations. If you do, they will cause you to follow their gods." But Solomon fell in love with these women. He had 700 wives who were from royal families, and 300 slave women who gave birth to his children. His wives caused him to turn away from God. As Solomon grew old, his wives caused him to follow other gods. He did not follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. Solomon worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the people of Sidon and Molech, the hated god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what the Lord said was wrong and did not follow the Lord completely as his father David had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built two places for worship. One was a place to worship Chemosh, the hated god of the Moabites, and the other was a place to worship Molech, the hated god of the Ammonites. Solomon did the same thing for all his foreign wives so they could burn incense and offer sacrifices to their gods. The Lord had appeared to Solomon twice, but the king turned away from following the Lord, the God of Israel. The Lord was angry with Solomon because he had commanded Solomon not to follow other gods. But Solomon did not obey the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have chosen to break your agreement with me and have not obeyed my commands, I will tear your kingdom away from you and give it to one of your officers. But I will not take it away while you are alive because of my love for your father David. I will tear it away from your son when he becomes king. I will not tear away all the kingdom from him, but I will leave him one tribe to rule. I will do this because of David my servant and because of Jerusalem, the city I have chosen." The Lord caused Hadad the Edomite, a member of the family of the king of Edom, to become Solomon's enemy. Earlier, David had defeated Edom. When Joab, the commander of David's army, went into Edom to bury the dead, he killed all the males. Joab and all the Israelites stayed in Edom for 6 months and killed every male in Edom. At that time, Hadad was only a young boy, so he ran away to Egypt with some of his father's officers. They left Midian and went to Paran, where they were joined by other men. Then they all went to Egypt to see the king, who gave Hadad a house, some food, and some land. The king liked Hadad so much, he gave Hadad a wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the king's wife. They had a son named Genubath. Queen Toppenes brought him up in the royal palace with the king's own children. While he was in Egypt, Hadad heard that David had died and that Joab, the commander of the army, was also dead. So Hadad said to the king, "Let me go, I will return to my own country." "Why do you want to go back to your own country?" the king asked. "What haven't I given you here?" "Nothing," Hadad answered, "but please let me go." God also caused another man to be Solomon's enemy, Rezon, son of Eliada. Rezon had run away from his master, Hadadezer, king of Zobah. After David defeated the army of Zobah, Rezon gathered some men and became the leader of a small army. They went to Damascus and settled there, and Rezon became king of Damascus. Rezon ruled Aram, and he hated Israel, so he was an enemy of Israel all the time Solomon was alive. Both Rezon and Hadad made trouble for Israel. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, was one of Solomon's officers. He was an Ephraimite from the town of Zeredah, and he was the son of a widow named Zeruah. Jeroboam turned against the king. This is the story of how Jeroboam turned against the king. Solomon was filling in the land and repairing the wall of Jerusalem, the city of David, his father. Jeroboam was a capable man, and Solomon saw that this young man was a good worker. So Solomon put him over all the workers from the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. One day, as Jeroboam was leaving Jerusalem, Ahijah the prophet from Shiloh, who was wearing a new coat, met him on the road. The two men were alone out in the country. Ahijah took his new coat and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces of this coat for yourself. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I will tear the kingdom away from Solomon and give you 10 tribes, but I will allow him to control one tribe. I will do this for the sake of my servant David and for Jerusalem, the city I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel. I will do this because Solomon has stopped following me and has worshipped the Sidonian god Ashtoreth, the Moabite god Chemosh, and the Ammonite god Molech. Solomon has not obeyed me by doing what I said is right and obeying my laws and commands, as his father David did. But I will not take all the kingdom away from Solomon. I will let him rule all his life because of my servant David, whom I chose, who obeyed all my commands and laws. But I will take the kingdom away from his son, and I will allow you to rule over the 10 tribes. I will allow Solomon's son to continue to rule over one tribe, so that there will always be a descendant of David, my servant in Jerusalem, the city where I chose to be worshipped. But I will make you rule over everything you want. You will rule over all of Israel, and I will always be with you if you do what I say is right. You must obey all my commands. If you obey my laws and commands as David did, I will be with you. I will make your family a lasting family of kings, as I did for David, and give Israel to you. I will punish David's children because of this, but I will not punish them forever." Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but he ran away to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, where he stayed until Solomon died. Everything else King Solomon did, and the wisdom he showed, is written in the book of the history of Solomon. Solomon ruled in Jerusalem over all Israel for 40 years. Then he died and was buried in Jerusalem, the city of David, his father, and his son Rehoboam became king in his place. 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all the Israelites had gone to make him king. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, was still in Egypt, where he had gone to escape from Solomon. When Jeroboam heard about Rehoboam being made king, he was living in Egypt. After the people sent for him, he and the people went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father forced us to work very hard. Now make it easier for us and don't make us work as hard as he did, then we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people left. King Rehoboam asked the older leaders who had advised Solomon during his lifetime, "How do you think I should answer these people?" They said, "You should be like a servant to them today. If you serve them and give them a kind answer, they will serve you always." But Rehoboam rejected this advice. Instead, he asked the young men who had grown up with him and who served as his advisors. Rehoboam asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who said, 'Don't make us work as hard as your father did'?" The young men who had grown up with him answered, "Those people said to you, 'Your father forced us to work very hard. Now make our work easier.' You should tell them, 'My little finger is bigger than my father's legs. He forced you to work hard, but I will make you work even harder. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with whips that have sharp points." Rehoboam had told the people, "Come back to me in 3 days." So after 3 days, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam. King Rehoboam spoke cruel words to them because he had rejected the advice the older leaders had given him. He followed the advice of the young men and said to the people, "My father forced you to work hard, but I will make you work even harder. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with whips that have sharp points." So the king did not listen to the people. The Lord caused this to happen to keep the promise he had made to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah, a prophet from Shiloh. When all the Israelites saw that the new king refused to listen to them, they said to the king, "We have no share in David. We have no part in the son of Jesse. People of Israel, let's go to our own homes. Let David's son rule his own people." So the Israelites went home, but Rehoboam still ruled over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. When Rehoboam sent him to the people of Israel, they threw stones at him until he died. But King Rehoboam ran to his chariot and escaped to Jerusalem. Since then, Israel has been against the family of David. When all the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they called him to a meeting and made him king over all Israel. Only the tribe of Judah continued to follow the family of David. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he gathered 180,000 of the best soldiers from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. As son of Solomon, Rehoboam wanted to fight the people of Israel to take back his kingdom. But God spoke his word to Shemaiah, a man of God, saying, "Speak to Solomon's son Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and to all the people of Judah and Benjamin and the rest of the people. Say to them, 'The Lord says, you must not go to war against your brothers, the Israelites. Every one of you should go home, because I made all these things happen.'" So they obeyed the Lord's command and went home as the Lord had commanded. Then Jeroboam made Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim a very strong city, and he lived there. He also went to the city of Peniel and made it stronger. Jeroboam said to himself, "The kingdom will probably go back to David's family. If the people continue going to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, they will want to be ruled again by Rehoboam. Then they will kill me and follow Rehoboam, king of Judah." King Jeroboam asked for advice. Then he made 2 golden calves. "It is too long a journey for you to go to Jerusalem to worship," he said to the people. "Israel, here are your gods who brought you out of Egypt." Jeroboam put 1 golden calf in the city of Bethel and the other in the city of Dan. This became a very great sin because the people traveled as far as Dan to worship the calf there. Jeroboam built temples on the places of worship. He also chose priests from all the people, not just from the tribe of Levi. And he started a new festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, just like the festival in Judah. During that time, the king offered sacrifices on the altar along with sacrifices to the calves in Bethel he had made. He also chose priests in Bethel to serve at the places of worship he had made. So Jeroboam chose his own time for a festival for the Israelites, the 15th day of the 8th month. During that time, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built in Bethel. He set up a festival for the Israelites and offered sacrifices on the altar.
The Book of John, Chapter 13.
Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go back to the Father. Jesus loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. While supper was taking place, the devil had already put the idea of betraying Jesus into the mind of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. The Father had put everything in Jesus' control. Jesus knew that. He also knew that he had come from God and was going back to God. So he got up from the table, removed his outer clothes, took a towel, and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that he had tied around his waist. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered Peter, "You don't know now what I'm doing. You will understand later." Peter told Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus replied to Peter, "If I don't wash you, you don't belong to me." Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, don't wash only my feet. Wash my hands and my head too." Jesus told Peter, "People who have washed are completely clean. They need to have only their feet washed. All of you, except for one, are clean." Jesus knew who was going to betray him, That's why he said, "All of you except for one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothes, he took his place at the table again. Then he asked his disciples, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right because that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you must wash each other's feet. I've given you an example that you should follow. I can guarantee this truth. Slaves are not superior to their owners, and messengers are not superior to the people who send them. If you understand all of this, you are blessed whenever you follow my example. I'm not talking about all of you. I know the people I've chosen to be apostles. However, I've made my choice so that Scripture will come true. It says, 'The one who eats my bread has turned against me.' I'm telling you now before it happens. Then, when it happens, you will believe that I am the one. I can guarantee this truth. Whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After saying this, Jesus was deeply troubled. He declared, "I can guarantee this truth. One of you is going to betray me." The disciples began looking at each other and wondering which one of them Jesus meant. One disloved was near him at the table. Simon Peter motioned to that disciple and said, "Ask Jesus whom he's talking about." Leaning close to Jesus, that disciple asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread after I've dipped it in the sauce." So Jesus dipped the bread and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Then, after Judas took the piece of bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "Hurry, do what you have to do." No one at the table knew why Jesus said this to him. Judas had the money bag, so some thought that Jesus was telling him to buy what they needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. Judas took the piece of bread and immediately went outside. It was night. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is now glorified, and because of him, God is glorified. If God is glorified because of the Son of Man, God will glorify the Son of Man because of himself, and he will glorify the Son of Man at once." Jesus said, "Dear children, I will still be with you for a little while. I'm telling you what I told the Jews. You will look for me, but you can't go where I'm going. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. Everyone will know that you are my disciples because of your love for each other." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "You can't follow me now to the place where I'm going. However, you will follow me later." Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll give my life for you." Jesus replied, "Will you give your life for me? I can guarantee this truth. No rooster will crow until you say three times that you don't know me."